Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Welcome back in on Inside the Clubhouse. Really fun stuff with Jason Stark, some newsy stuff, some rule change shenanigans between he and Bruce Levine in terms of conversation that was enjoyable. And we continue here. We're out at 10:30, early out today on Inside the Clubhouse. Is our next guest ready? Adam Studzinski back at the shop. Outstanding. Our next guest joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park.
A guy who needs no introduction, but we must anyways. One of the great Chicago White Sox players of recent or any time, and now a fine broadcaster on Fox, our friend A.J. Pierzynski joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, A.J. Hope you're doing well. Hope the family's healthy and happy and doing okay.
We are good, Bruce. Thanks. We've already gone through our COVID phase, so we're clear now, right? We have a free pass on everything now.
Wow, some of you had it in the family, been there, done that at this point?
Yeah, exactly, been there and done that. Yeah, there was a friend had it and we didn't know, and I was at one of my son's baseball tournaments, and ended up just getting passed around a little bit, but happy to say we're all through it and we're good to go now.
AJ, looking at your good buddy and part of the pitching combination for a long time, Mark Burley, now on the Hall of Fame roster, up for first time this year to be voted on in January. Maybe not a first round Hall of Famer, but what are your thoughts about where he fits in modern day baseball and what his chances might be being a Hall of Famer in the future?
My question is, does Mark even know he's on the Hall of Fame ballot? that would be my first question. Does he even know? I'm sure people.
Well, that was the beauty of the guy.
Did he know before Bruce called him and told him? I think his place is, first of all, for me, he was one of my favorite guys to catch, without a doubt. The speed at which he worked, the consistency, which he always took the ball every fifth day. He never complained. He never said, oh, I can't pitch. I mean, he was always pretty, banged up or whatever, but he always took the ball, and he'd go out there and throw 83 miles an hour and throw a perfect game, throw a no-hitter. and just take the ball. That was the thing about Mark that was the best. And like I said, he never shook off. He never really cared about scouting. I mean, it'd be interesting to see him in today's game with all the scouting reports and all the analytics and everything that they do nowadays and all the pitchers that I get to talk to and what they go through to do their scouting report, whereas Mark Burley wouldn't even look at a scouting report. He's just like, all right, I'm throwing whatever the catcher wants to throw, and we'll go. And that's why his game's been so quick. And I also think that's why he was successful, because he didn't overthink. And I think there are certain guys that get paralyzed by too much information. But Mark definitely wasn't one of them. And, you know, he's special to me. Now, is he a Hall of Famer? I mean, I'm going to let you media folks debate that. But for me, he's one of the best guys I've ever played with.
Well, I don't consider myself on your level, Bruce.
No, you never did. You always let me know you didn't.
I consider myself a novice at this baseball, this media thing, right? So, you know, I don't have a Hall of Fame vote, but I mean, as far as a teammate and a player and a guy, I mean, he's right there.
It's really interesting to think about him with in the game now with analytics and stuff, but. If he had shown that he could do it that way, and as long as you, the catcher, was steeped in it, or as long as whoever was calling the pitches was steeped in it, and he just, you know, he'd figure out a way. How would you be? How would you be as a catcher? Not like, if you guys were the battery, how would you react to all that stuff at this point, AJ?
Well, I mean, you have to take. Look, I'm obviously from the older school as far as analytics, but I also understand there's a place for it. There are certain information. I mean, we looked at stuff at the end of my career with all the video and all the numbers over there. I mean, instead of just going through a dead scouting report, I mean, I was looking at numbers where guys were hot, hitting zones, snaps. But we also never, the thing that gets me now is, you know, the third time through the order. Well, I mean, back in the day, pitchers, they lived to get through that third time. That meant they're in the sixth, seventh, eighth inning. Now it's almost like, okay, you're a starter.
Okay, great. You gave us five innings. You did your job, right? Well, what about the sixth, seventh every time? I mean, those are the guys that are special, the guys that can do that for you. And that was something Mark always took pride in. He never really wanted to come out of a game. He took pride in going that third time through the order. If you can get through that third time, I mean, it saves so much in your bullpen, and it saves so much over the course of a year. So I think analytics are good, and I understand a lot of them. I also think sometimes, again, like, we don't want to get paralyzed by the information, and we've seen that happen a few times here,
I think, lately in the postseason.
Yeah, we have. See, that's the thing. This is my theory, guys, is that as the decade goes on and Mark Burley spends what will hopefully be a decade on the ballot, the value of what he brought to the game is going to grow in people's minds. And as CC Sabathia comes in and gets talked about, or Andy Pettit, or a couple other guys are going to look at Burley, and towards the end of the decade, maybe the numbers will climb enough for him to eventually get into the Hall of Fame. What do you think, Bruce? Possible?
Well, I think it's possible. AJ, your thoughts? And also, you know, how many of those guys would you like on your team if you one day do manage like you should?
Well, I mean, I hope Mark gets in, because then I get to go to Cooperstown again and listen to him get up there and shake and have a speech. I mean, that's like my ultimate dream, is to watch him have to get up there and be uncomfortable. Because, I mean, he hates talking in front of people, so that would be a great – I mean, like Hawk's going in this year, right, hopefully. And he'll get up there, and he'll love talking to the people. But you get Burley up there, it's the complete opposite. So I mean, it'd be worth it just to see the look on his face. I mean, there's a good chance he might, like, freak out and have to walk off the stage, which, I mean, I love Mark, but, I mean, I would definitely have a chuckle at that, because he always laughed at me, because they'd always nominate me to talk. And meanwhile, Mark, you know, would always be the one not wanting to talk. So that would be the best part. But Listen. If you get to manage a guy like Mark Burley, that wants the ball every day, never complains. Doesn't matter. He's taking on short rest. He's taking on long rest. You know, whatever they needed Mark Burley to do, he always was up for it. And that's the thing. I think,
like you said, it's been lost kind of because now, you know, it's, I used to joke about certain guys had to be 72 and sunny for them to pitch, and Mark definitely was not like that.
Do owners have the owners and general managers have the wherewithal and the guts to hire an Ozzie Guillen again or an AJ Pierzynski to manage a team, or is the idea that front offices want to be a part of the action so much that they are afraid of guys that are too strong.
Ask Rick Hahn that question. Shouldn't you ask him that question?
When we have him on, I will. But right now, all we're left with is you. You know, so
I mean, Jerry do. Apparently, I think from everything that I've read, I mean, I think that Jerry kind of went against Rick Hahn's wishes when he hired La Russa, maybe. I don't know that for a fact. I haven't been told that from anyone, but this thing is reading. So I think if you get a strong enough owner that believes in a certain guy, they'll hire whoever they want. I mean, I don't know that maybe Ozzy was the first choice for the White Sox back when he was hired before the 04 season, but
no,
Kenny said, hey, you know what, this is the guy that can do it for us. I think if you get anybody in the right situation that knows baseball,
is willing to adapt to the new way of the game and adapt and listen. And I always tell people that when people ask me about managing, I say, listen, you have to have a relationship with the owner and the GM that you can argue one day, turn the page the next day, and still be able to get along and be friends. I think that's the key, is like you have to have strong relationships. You can't take things personal because it's not really personal. It's about trying to win the game that day. You're going to have disagreements. And you know what? Look, the manager's going to make mistakes, and the analytics guys are going to make mistakes because, you know, guys have bad days in the world.
And I think
we're not robots. Players are not robots, and you have to understand that. I think people are getting better at that.
I think you just can't follow a script because the script can go off course sometimes, and that's when teams have been getting in trouble.
When is it a problem for players in terms of how they feel about a manager? Like, if you fear him, no big deal. If you don't like him, potentially no big deal. If you don't trust him, that would seem to be an issue. Like when is the relationship potentially a problem for a group of players?
I think you have to have when they don't respect the guy, I think is when you lose them. I think, I played for managers I liked. I played for managers I didn't like. I played for managers I didn't respect. And I think that is where you lose the fact that, hey, we're going to go out and play hard for you every day, right? But they're always, to me, I feel like as a manager, you have to have their best interest in mind. And you also have to have a little bit of a fear factor involved. Because if they don't fear you just a little bit, it has to be a good fear, right? It can't be like, I'm scared of this guy, but it has to be a healthy fear of like, okay, if I mess up, there are consequences. You just can't be nice all the time. And look, I played for managers that were nice all the time, and they try to get angry at the team, and the team would literally laugh at them
because we're like, this guy is not this way. Like, there's no...
We know this isn't who they really are, right?
And you can be nice. And look, I played for Ron Gardner, one of the nicest guys. But he also had that fear factor in that respect because we knew that he would get on us. Ozzie Guillen, say what you want about Ozzie, but guys respected the heck out of Ozzie because, look, no one wants to see him get blasted in the newspaper, their name out there, right? So, but Ozzie also could be one of the best guys in the world if you sat down and talked to him one-on-one when there was no reporters around. Bruce, you can tell, you can answer that. I hope back me up on that.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I think it's a hard job. Because you have nowadays, it's more about managing egos and managing personalities. Because you have to have, as a manager, you have to be able to handle the front office, the owner, the media, the players, and make them all get along. And that is not easy in today's world.
AJ, when you look at the play on the field right now, you were, you know, one of the smartest players in the game. You were brought up by great baseball people in the Twins organization. We share friendship with one of the great developers and baseball people in Larry Corrigan that came out of the Twins organization and fantastic baseball man. But when you look at the product right now and you looked at, the attempts offensively by players, the lack of hitting and running, ability to do that, move runners, just use your baseball acumen and your talents beyond hitting a ball out of the ballpark. How tough is it for you to watch, and is it a game that needs some tweaking?
Well, I mean, look, I was taught as a player you don't strike out. I mean, I came up under Tom Kelly, who was, I mean, they would flat out tell you as a Twins organization, you don't strike out. You put the ball in play, hit the ball the other way. I mean, it didn't matter where you were hitting in the lineup in the minor leagues, you're going to have to learn how to play. They put hit and runs on just to try, because they knew if you got to the big leagues, Tom Kelly would do that with you, so... I was also told you have to catch the ball. You can't make errors. You have to know how to run the bases.
or literally Tom Kelly. But I mean, this was when managers had ultimate control. Tom Kelly would be like, "Nope, I don't like him. Send him out." I mean, it was like that fast. I mean, that was it.
And he had the ultimate control in the organization. It's obviously changed now.
But
I mean, look, I like the ball and play. I watch these games. Look, I love home runs as much as every single person out there.
I just wish
there was more contact and more action sometimes. And
look, I'm all for bat flipping. Heck, I did it enough. Celebrate, and I did that. And getting mad, I did that. I love the emotion that's in the game now, and I love the way these kids play and how talented they are. But I just also, at the same time, there's a little bit of me that wishes there was a little bit more action going.
Yeah, I you're not alone. You're not alone there, and you're not alone at some of the highest levels of the game in terms of how they talk about it. Theo Epstein on his way out the other day, it actually took some responsibility for like the collective groupthink that has overtaken the game. It's very efficient to play it a certain way. It's not necessarily the best in terms of aesthetics and watchability. I wonder what rules will make sense and what rules will not, but we got to be open to them, I think. Where are you on banning the shift, AJ? I've had people tell me that it's ridiculous. You shouldn't do that because you're asking them to aim. But it actually, it makes some sense to me. Where are you on that one?
I mean, if you don't want them to shift on you, just hit the ball the other way. I mean, they didn't shift on me
because I could hit a ground ball to short. That was a base hit.
They played me straight up. I wish they would have shifted on me.
I could have had a couple more hits in my career and been happier instead of a lot of offers. But, you know, I mean, learn how to bunt. I mean, I get it. The game today is about hitting the ball over the fence,
hitting the ball in the air, and striking out,
walking, and those are the three big things that everyone looks at now. But there's still value in guys that can hit the ball the other way and get on base and cause pressure. I mean, you see it. You know, the Dodgers were great at it. Yeah, they hit a lot of home runs, but they also, Mookie Betts, saw what base running and putting pressure on the other team can do. I mean, he single-handedly won how many games in the postseason by just doing that himself and going on contact from third and stealing second and stealing third and doing all these things. And yeah, I mean, everyone remembers the home runs. And
but, I mean,
there was also a lot of little things the Dodgers did.
And then
the group think is
the group think
and the whole deal. But,
I mean, yeah, I want to see more. And the shift, I mean, can you outlaw the shift? No, but you can also beat the shift if you work on it.
But guys don't want to work on it because they're stubborn.
And they're taught since they were 8, 9, 10 years old. I have a 13-year-old kid, so I understand it. Oh, I'll just hit it over the shift.
Well, guess what? When you face good pitching, you can't always do that.
In closing with you, AJ, and we really appreciate the time. I hope you're a manager sometime soon in baseball because I know how smart you are, I know how dedicated you are, and I know how much you would add to a major league team as a manager. But that said, what are your thoughts about Tony coming back as a manager of the White Sox, and what do you think people should concentrate on as far as how he will most likely manage and handle the Chicago White Sox younger players?
Well, I think he walked into the perfect situation. I mean, I think every person that likes baseball has any ideas of managing. Who would not want to be manager of the Chicago White Sox in 2021?
I mean, they have starting pitching and Giolito and Keuchel and Cease and Topek hopefully coming back, right? And then they have bullpen
guys in place that some of them were injured, but chance to come back. And then you look at their lineup with the reigning MVP and Tim Anderson, a former batting champion, and all these all-star guys and gold glove guys all over the place. I mean, who would not? I mean, heck, sign me up for that, Bruce, if you can. I mean, just walking into a situation ready to win, right? And the thing about Tony is you have to understand, listen,
for everything I've read, this is Jerry's pick. Well, guess what Jerry's going to do in order to make Tony look
good?
He's going to give him every resource, and he's going to spend, and he's going to try to do everything, right? Especially this year when the so-called free agent money is going to be down, guess what? Jerry's going to be like, screw that. I'm going to spend all the money in the world and try to win.
Right? So look.
I think Tony's going to be fine. You know, he's adaptable. He's been around long enough. I think the staff is going to have to be important for Tony,
whoever he brings in, because they have to
be able to communicate with the players through Rick and through Kenny and
through all the analytics guys.
But look, Tony's a Hall of Famer for a reason. He's won some World Series. He's won a lot of games as a manager. He'll be able to adapt.
I think
he's just going to have to. Sometimes
as a manager in today's game, you have to swallow your pride
because the players make more money than ever and they have more power than ever. And sometimes you have to say,
cede a little bit of that power to the player.
Yeah, I think that's the question. You know, will the pride be swallowed, and will the room respect him as you've talked to? Miguel Cairo is the bench coach. Do you play with Miguel in St. Louis or anywhere along the way? AJ,
I did not. I know he hit with a split grip though, which was amazing to me every time I saw him hit. And I run into him a couple times at volleyball tournaments. My daughter plays volleyball, and his daughter plays volleyball, so I've run into him a couple times there. But I played against him. I never played with him.
All right, well, there you go.
AJ, we appreciate it very much. Have a great holiday off season. Stay happy and healthy. And again, I'm hoping someday soon you get to manage, because that would be a treat to watch you run a baseball team.
No, Bruce, you just want me there so I can give you good quotes. That's why you want me around.
Or shut me out like you did on a lot of occasions.
Bruce.
One or the other. AJ, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Take care of yourself. Talk to you soon, okay?
You're welcome, guys. Go Sox.
All right.
Thanks, AJ.
AJ Pierzynski, always in your face and always mostly smarter than the other guy. In my case, always smarter than me when talking. He was a brilliant guy as well. A guy with probably an 160 IQ, believe it or not. Never went to college.
670 The Score is what you're listening to. That was a lot of fun. Inside the Clubhouse today, thank you to AJ Pierzynski. Thank you to Jason Stark, who joined us last hour. And thank you to our producer, Adam Studzinski. Bruce?
People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. Also, write White Sox and Cubs every day on 670thescore.com. Maddie, we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you. And coming up next, it's some college football action. A big, long day of it right here on The Score. Have a great day, everybody.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.